That's the start.
Time for sparkling water. Coconut, no less.
Yeah, that's one of the best ones, I think.
Hello.
Hello.
We're doing a normal hello this evening, are we?
We are. I am.
Fair enough. So, podcast time. We are on the normal routine, I suppose. We're not talking about a new destination, though. We were back up at the reserve. So, Lost in the Forest meets Many Paths, build day.
Day two.
Number two. So, we're going to talk about that a little bit. And then a few wild edible facts. So,
a few findings.
Yeah. So, last week we had an okay weekend that rolled into an okay week, and we even rode on Wednesday evening and went looking for things and had a nice time. And then we had what could only be described as a monsoon all day Thursday, all night Thursday night, most of Friday.
Hoo-wee, we did.
So, yet again, we donned Wellington boots and headed out to the reserve on Saturday. They said, you only ever come when it's bad weather. It's like, yep, that's not planned.
However, both the last time that we went and this time where there was that monsoon rain prior to, and even the morning of, but by the time we got there, old Mother Nature decided to give us a real treat.
Yeah, I needed a treat after I found out that someone had ridden a motorcycle all over our mountain bike trails.
You mean a four-wheeler?
Or a four-wheeler. And a motorcycle and a four-wheeler.
Well, particularly the four-wheeler was rather damaging. But we ended up having a beautiful, like, top-shelf, gorgeous, perfect day. Not too hot, still no bugs.
I think we're a week away from the bugs.
I know. I shouldn't even say it because it's like nobody even wants to speak about those things. But I do keep trying to remind myself to really enjoy.
So I do want to speak about bugs for a second.
Oh, do
so
you?
I have a request to anybody listening who has any bright ideas on the bug front. I would quite like any advice that doesn't involve using, I was going to say Dettol, that's a UK disinfectant, which you use for cleaning your floors. DDT or whatever it is, the thing. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
And even the ones that say DDT free, I don't think are particularly good for you. So, anybody's got any advice? We tried citronella and a few other combinations.
Yeah, some essential oils, which they work okay. They do, but I do find you have to reapply quite often.
And I tried a few things. So, I'm not a brand pusher and not sponsored, but Oakley last year sent us some summer jerseys, which are long-sleeved. And I did find if I sprayed bug spray on the outer of the sleeves, long sleeves, that did stop the bugs going for my arms. However, they do like the back of my calves below my knee pads, which is a little bit annoying. So anyway, my point was, if anybody's got a brilliant idea that doesn't involve batteries recharging things, you know, those ones that people have, I would be more than willing to listen. I'm hoping, as Bob's place is a bit swampy, that we'll be able to light some fires initially just to keep the bugs at bay when they start emerging out of that lovely mud.
We will see how we're gonna survive that.
Beekeeping suits to the rescue.
Yeah, maybe. Or an astronaut suit.
I think when you're riding, it's not too bad, but one of the reasons I bring this up is because if you're riding and foraging, as we've done for a few years now, you get bitten when you get off your bike. Like,
you sure do.
Looking for mushrooms or things, so.
You sure do. Sometimes you almost even have to cut it short. It's a bit of a situation, eh?
So I've been told no sugar, because apparently mosquitoes like sugar. So I don't know if that's, I mean, with the ice cream part of our podcast, that makes it a bit of a challenge.
I was going to say, I'm doomed. I'm doomed.
I figure my other option is to start smoking a pipe.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't think so. But yeah, anyway, any information would be very welcoming. If you're in the woods and it's stormy, And particularly this time of the year when maybe trail work hasn't happened, I would just keep an eye out for the old stand-in deadwood, because one of our fellow trail builders was getting quite nervous about a long, tall tree that had snapped off at the base that was being held up by a sapling, I would say. A little baby tree. And it was a bit unnerving because it kept creaking. I jumped on it, but I couldn't get it to come down, and we didn't have a chainsaw, so...
Well, and not long after, we did see a tree come down.
You did, didn't you?
Yeah, did you not see it?
I did, yeah. It was, like, behind you, wasn't it?
Yeah, so, it was pretty big.
Yeah, made a noise.
I had no idea that you guys were nervous about some other tree, so well, I just thought it was... Well, I
wasn't personally. I'd already been around it.
Well,
but,
it doesn't matter. Somebody in the family was.
But I do feel we've answered the question. If a tree falls in the woods, it does make a noise.
Oh.
If you're there.
It sure does.
So that was that bit of information.
A little action.
So you built some jumps.
I did. I attempted to anyways.
You finished a jump and then you built a drop, right?
Correct.
How'd that go?
I think that the drop looked pretty good. The jump, I have no idea if I have a correct angle, or it might need some more tuning, fine tuning. But it, you know, I think it's maybe like 85% of the way there. I think, as you said, it needs to kind of sunbake and settle a little bit. And
I did wonder, I was thinking about it the other day, but I did wonder whether there is room to put a third in on that line, because if you could have like three jumps is a good run, and then we've built a trail that then goes around in a loop, so...
It's almost like a figure eight, actually.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Can be.
Could be.
Or two loops, I suppose.
So I think we are cracking on. So anybody listening to this that wants to hang out or head out towards Bramford, drop me an email, 27th of April. We had a few no-shows, I think, because of the rain. I think, you know, people in Canada don't like getting wet feet or something, but...
Made of sugar.
Those people that couldn't make it last time for various reasons are coming next time, by the sound of it. So it'd be nice if we could get 10 on a trail build, then by the time the actual kids turn up, I feel like we'll have something kind of decent to ride. So we might even have some bikes by then as well, you never know.
That'd be cool.
Would be. We have no cats right now, so, I mean, we have cats, but they're not hanging out with us. Normally by now, one of them's purring.
There is actually one hanging out down under there.
That was my purring noise. It wasn't very good.
The ginger winger is down there. So what did you get up to building? I mean, you were being a little bit of Mr. Foreman there. Or would it be the conductor? Actually, yes, I'll call you the conductor.
We don't swear on this podcast, but there is a term I could have come up with. I do a day job where I sometimes get asked a lot of questions, and I really try not to get involved in that outside of my day job. And I found it quite difficult, if I'm honest, on Saturday. It wasn't even that bad. I literally just spent a lot of time going back and forth. And people want to make the right decision, and that's fine. And people are new, and they've never done it before, and it takes time. And I get all of those things. What I did learn, though, and that's what I went off to do, is... Marking more trail means you can send people off to do stuff. And so what I did was I marked a lot of trail back out towards the car park, and then marked another loop, because I just figured next time we're there and we have people turn up and we run out of or people want things to do, I can say go and follow those marks and clean that with a saw, and go and do that and clean that with a spade or a brush or whatever, rake.
Oh, you're a genius. I did, now that I think about it, I did see you marching around putting more flags in the ground, and I wasn't entirely sure what you were
up to.
Yeah, or, well, more specifically, that you had a real great idea and a plan for getting that done. That's actually quite genius for setting us up for the next one, so that maybe you can do a little bit more other fun stuff, as opposed to, I know you had to yeah, answer questions a lot. And
yeah, and I do think a strimmer would be useful, like a weed whacker. Like a weed whacker thing.
Oh.
Did a lot of cutting trails or cutting trees down with saws and pruning things, but pruning things is great, but they just come back twice as strong. So I do think a weed whacker would be good. What was interesting was that one of the other people there is also a mountain biker and clean pair of eyes, different riding style to me anyway, and it was helpful because he spotted a few lines that perhaps I wouldn't have considered, so we marked those as well. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so that was helpful. But sometimes you just need to get on. Like, it's almost, we're planning our garden at the moment that requires a fairly, it doesn't need a strict plan, but it needs a layout and a proper plan, and the mountain bike trails do need a plan. But the main point of this is to just get kids riding their bikes as much as possible and get them to build stuff as fast as possible, as in get them out building and riding. So it's a bit of a different one. It's like stepping back a bit and just going, well, it'd be great if these trails are in 20 years' time, but just to get the whole thing up and running, it doesn't have to be perfect. So I think the log rolls you did, I think the jump and the drop, I think the return loop that Brittany and Iko did back to where the start was, I think all of that is helpful because we now have an actual trail system that we can put signs out and mark. There was a hill we spotted, that's where I was off doing those flags because there was some gradient, which could be quite fun. And then we were just trying to figure out how to get from where our trail kind of start and finished through all the four-wheeler trails, through the swamp, and then out back to the car park. So,
yeah, that might be a little tricky, but I'm sure we will figure something out.
But we can go ways out, right? So we can go all the way along the ridge one side and then kind of right up to the property line and then come back in the other side behind those pine trees. We just might need to build a little skinny bridge. So,
ooh.
And I've got an idea for that. So, you know all those tires?
Yeah.
There's a load of abandoned tires.
You did
tires.
Say.
So I think we'll fill the tires with cement and put some, like, pilings, if you like. And we'll make it, you know, maybe a foot wide over the swampy bits, which means good luck on your four-wheeler getting over there. So we'll do a few of those, which we'll make them very mountain bike specific, so we can kind of help protect our trails by just making them less than accessible to four-wheelers. And good luck on a motorcycle. In fact, if you get across there on a motorcycle, then you can ride our trails. You'd be impressive. Just on the many paths thing, I mean, I created a not-for-profit, so I've done all the registration stuff with Ontario government. We're all in the process of having our police vetting, so to work with vulnerable people. I now have to open a not-for-profit bank account, and they don't charge you very much for this. Like, it's a much cheaper thing than a normal bank account. Like, right. In fact, it doesn't cost you anything, generally, but the rules are so strict, so like everything I do at the moment, it seems to be 50 pages of documentation to read to kind of get it to the next step. So I'm hoping I get that done in the next week or so. And then we'll have a proper functioning not-for-profit operation, which means we can take donations and grants, which we're in the process of applying for. And soon we'll be a massive multi-reserve trail business of some sort. I don't know, but we'll see, but we're kind of moving on as we go.
Well, we are, and I would say we had another successful build day, even though it started out a little bit discouraging with having to fix and repair and reroute a couple of things. I think we did the best that we could for the time being, and I had fun.
Yeah, and I think we're going to sign the trails, and I think once kids are out there riding a lot, I think the four-wheelers are all new. I think it's all a bit new. Everybody's just trying to figure out where they fit in. We're also going to do some dirt jump building over the other side. So there's a pine woodland the other side of the road, which is great because it means soft landing. But also that area doesn't seem to get any traffic. So if we do run into any problems or it's super wet and muddy on the main trail side, then we'll, you know,
hit the road, Jack.
Yeah, cross over the road and go and ride the sandy stuff. So, my only other thing I was going to mention, again, a bit like the stand in Deadwood, is random dogs. There was an abandoned dog where we turned up who was like a Labrador cross with a Mastiff or something.
Yeah, he was an interesting mix. Definitely like Golden Lab. And yeah, I was even wondering if like Boxer.
Yeah, there was a lot going on. But he was really scared of people. It looked like he'd been abandoned. He was pretty skinny and he was in a bit of a state. He wasn't a happy fella. He's like, he was all confused. And anyway, I think somebody was coming out to kind of rescue him or whatever. He'd been abandoned. But I was just going to say, anybody out on the, comes out on these projects, kind of runs into any of these like loose dogs, just be a bit careful, because I've been around dogs, so's Jessica, and he was not a happy soul, was he? He was like...
Not yet, anyways. Not I yet. Hope he becomes...
Just be careful, was my point. At any time you come across a random dog, it's worth just being a little bit cautious.
No doubt.
So, you, whilst doing a lot of jump building and trail building, you discovered a few wild edibles.
I did. I might have, while you guys were over there, I might have done a little sneak picking of things. I couldn't resist.
Well, fair enough.
So I did find a couple of things, and just two that I will talk a little bit about today were the, first of all, marsh marigolds. And I would say our timing on those on Bob's Land were just spot on. Marsh marigolds are a herbaceous perennial plant, and you can start finding them in early spring, but they will go all throughout the summer. They are part of the buttercup family, and they are found in, you guessed it, marshes and wet woodlands. You can also check out ditches and streams. So yes, Bob's marshy, swampy land was quite excellent. And so when I mentioned about the timing of us finding these or collecting these, I think that they are best gathered early, before the flowers even burst out of their little button-like buds, and the leaves, the stems, and those unopened flower buds are all edible. So if you're looking for these and the flowers have not popped yet, the leaves are like a heart or kidney shaped, and if and when the flowers do come out, they are yellow like a buttercup, and they usually have 5 to 9 petals. I think always an odd number. So marsh marigolds are not to be eaten raw, and when you are collecting them, do be mindful of what leaves you are grabbing, because they do live among other poisonous plants that grow in the same environment. Mainly, I would look out for water hemlock.
And is it as poisonous, is it?
I believe so. Toxic. Right. Like, I don't know if it's going to kill you, but just to say, you know, don't just grab like huge handfuls. Like, be mindful of what leaves you are actually putting in your basket or your bag. So we enjoyed a few the next morning.
We did.
We had poached eggs with, rather than spinach, we had marsh marigolds on top of our toast and under our poached egg.
And yeah, I would say it was a similar consistency cooked to spinach, but a much more tasty option is what I would say.
I'd say a little bit more robust too.
Yeah, I was...
ever so slightly.
I was impressed. It was a good alternative. Was it a big cleanup job, or was it okay? Or
yep, the cleanup was no problem. I mean I was pretty selective or careful when I collected, to not pick any that were like muddy or
gritty or slimy or any of those things.
Yeah, or had any other different leaves mixed in, right? I was like quite
selective.
Yes,
it's the end of the day, folks. It's been a long week. And then what was the other thing?
So the other thing that we discovered, and this was a new one for us, and I'm in love with this one already. We have a huge bucket in the fridge right now, and I will tell you what I intend on making with that. Although, who knows if I actually will. I'll usually come up with 20 more ideas and then land on a 25th idea. Anyway, the next wild edible that we are talking about here, which was a new discovery for us, was, or is, called Virginia waterleaf. Also a herbaceous perennial plant, and quite abundant. So, you know, pick as much as you like, I would say. These guys appear also in early to mid-spring. I do believe that they are native to eastern North America. And the leaves are, most of the ones, I would say 90% of the ones that we had collected, the leaves are a solid green. But sometimes you will see them with a white spot, and that's okay too. White spots, like polka dots almost. Yep. And those ones are good too. They do flower in, I think, three colors, blue, white, or purple. And one thing I really liked about this wild edible is that it can also be eaten raw.
Yeah.
As well as cooked. And there is no bitterness whatsoever. And, you know, we were just sort of munching on them as we were collecting them. And we had some in a salad. And now I have, as I said, a large bucket in the fridge. And I will play with cooking some of those and probably treating it a bit like a spinach. And I was maybe thinking of a quiche.
Wow. Did they wilt quickly after we picked them?
They sure did.
Right. And did you haven't tried bringing them back to life with your hot water and salt trick?
I don't use salt.
Oh, no? Okay.
But I wonder if that's a thing.
I think so.
Huh. Most people always say to put them in, like, cold water to refresh them. But I don't even know who I learned from, but to actually put them in, like, quite hot water, not boiling, but hot water. If you ever have like lettuce or greens that have gone kind of limp and wilted, and hot water, you would think would wilt them even more. But it actually, in my experience, has always kind of crisped things up.
But you kind of have to use them at that point, don't you?
You do, I think. Yes. You've never tried to do it twice over. That's what I mean.
It's not a two time.
No.
You can't keep going.
Yeah, you're probably right on that. But salt, I don't know about that one. I've never tried that.
Yeah, I need to remember my grandmother putting a bit of salt in with, but warm water, not hot. But
yeah, I would say I go even like fairly hot.
Yeah, hot to touch, as in.
Well, definitely you're putting your hands in it, like.
Yeah, but I mean, hot out the tap, you don't make it, it's not lukewarm, is
correct.
It? It's, you know, washing up. Hot.
Washing up hot, that's a good one.
Our cats are just being annoying now. They just all decided to
party,
be quiet, and then just run about. So the other thing I was going to just ask you about is, it's that time of year again.
I know.
So we're kind of on the, well, I say we, Jessica's on the hunt.
You two
for,
are too.
On the hunt for the morels, and I mean, I'm a bit confused because there's a lot of information, but I think we sort of had a plan of where they should be, like on the edge of a woodland or by oak trees, and by oak trees that are losing their bark, and by oak trees that are losing their bark with a bit of light, and by oak trees. Anyway, the point is then I look in, you know, I look on the internet, other people that have found them, and someone finds them in a dark, moldy pine forest. So it's like, well, so I think the point is, I personally don't know where they are. I'm just trying to look for them. But are there any, I mean, we keep going and looking, we're kind of looking twice a week in a few spots at the minute where we think they should be, but they might not think they should be. But are there any things worth looking for, or is it all a big puzzle, and we're just going to find them when we find them.
Well, yes and no, I would say.
That's a very political answer.
Well, it seems that the more reading about them that I do, and the more kind of photographs and sightings that are, you know, people are recording and sharing, and when I look at sort of the environment that they're in and I'm looking for little clues and hints and things that I can, to help me out, right? It just seems like they could be anywhere and everywhere.
Or nowhere.
I mean, unlike, you know, for example, our pheasant back mushrooms.
Yeah.
There's a specific type of tree that they grow on. And, you know, you could say the same about chicken of the woods. Like, one type of tree, maybe not just one, but a certain type of tree. And
they seem to be back on the same trees again and again, right? Like, pheasant backs seem to grow on the same tree until the tree is no longer a tree. It's a pile of dust.
Well, that I don't know for sure.
No, but like the one in the ravine area, yes,
my favorite one.
Every year, but there's a point where it's going to be like, well, it's not up anymore. And I believe that Chicken of the Woods is the same from the reading I've done, that once they have a host tree, they'll exhaust it and then they move somewhere else. So I think, and lobsters, I think, are similar as well. They crop up in the same area, if not the same spot exactly, because of where the spores are. But the morels seem to just be like...
Well, I think that they do too, as well, but... Then also they can not. But, I mean, we don't have an established spot yet or spots yet like we do with other mushrooms. And I'm sure that we will get there. So just trying to, you know, when you're first hunting for something that you haven't found before, it's tricky to say, like, what am I looking for? And so, you know, of course, all of the... most common tips and things that I'm looking for, I just can't seem to get there. And funny, just based on the you know, couple that we found last spring, they were in the strangest place ever. Like,
yeah,
you know, on the side of the road growing out of sand, like near pine trees. So that was not really on par with the majority of the hints and clues and suggestions that I've read about morels. So
I guess the only thing that was in common is the fact that other people had seen them in that loose vicinity,
like, correct,
within, yeah, 5 square miles of where we were, or less even, they'd been there. So I guess that is a possibility. Whereas I do sometimes think some of the places we're kind of looking at the minute, it's like, I don't know if they've ever been seen there before or not. So
I just feel like they could be anywhere. And I keep thinking, like, oh, this looks like the right type of environment, like based on a lot of different factors that I have, you know, read as suggestions. And
well, they like mulch is one of the things. So we're about to plant trees in our garden and we need to get some mulch and put it around the base. So maybe we'll get them
out. Well, they also like fruit trees, yeah, and we just got a fruit tree.
So we're trying. And yeah, again, anybody... wanted to tell me or reach out and say, I don't want you to tell me where they are. I mean, if you do, that would be great.
I do.
But I'd just be interested if anybody in the Ontario area of Canada actually finds any, if they would just say found them, even if you don't say where. I would be curious just to know.
I would go one step further and say any.
You want the
GPS coordinates. No, I would love for anyone to make any suggestions for the Niagara area of where to look, which I think, you know, should be pretty much right now with the timing. Of course, temperature, they always talk about 50 being the magic number. You know, I don't know how many times I've read that one. But two clues that I just learned this year are, one, that... They should be coming out around the time that cherry blossoms are, as well as, and this one I actually, years past, I had incorrect, but I do believe I've just, well, I'm
corrected it,
but I still am not to the very bottom of it. I had learned that I thought that they might be near May apple flowers, but apparently that's more of a timing thing, is that they should be coming out at the same time that May apple flowers are unfurling. And
that makes sense.
Well, I wish that they were near the May apple flowers, though, because I've found tons of those. But not necessarily. Or do they?
So they could actually be anywhere, is what we're saying. We'll find them.
Oh, I mean, mystery of mushrooms.
We never thought we were going to find chicken in the woods, and we found more than we could deal with. So
that's true.
It, you know, careful what you wish for. I guess we'll get them sooner or later. Do you have anything else you would like to add?
We got a peach tree.
We did. Anything else you'd like to add?
Nope. How about you?
Get lost.